Welcome to the Data Center Hawk podcast, where we help you make better decisions in the data center space. Today, we're talking about pricing and specifically what drives pricing above or below the average market price.
It can feel like you're chasing a ghost a bit when it comes to, you know, really truly being able to describe pricing, because you really have to understand all of the specifics around it to figure out exactly why that price was determined. But these are some of the things that will create that range that, you know, sometimes that we publish.
You're listening to the Data Center Hawk podcast, where we demystify the data center market. Data Center Hawk is your online platform for data and commentary on the data center market. Stay tuned and be sure to join the thousands of others who rely on Data Center Hawk to make decisions in the data center space.
Welcome to the Data Center Hawk podcast, where we help you make better decisions in the data center space. Today, I'm joined, as always, by David Liggett, my good friend and Data Center Hawk founder. Welcome, David.
Hello, Michael. Good to see you.
Great to be here. Today, we're talking about pricing. Specifically, what is it that drives pricing above or below the average price in a market? So for those of you who don't know, we publish pricing lease rates across different sizes, across multiple markets in North America.
Yep.
And oftentimes, or frequently, deals get done outside those ranges that we publish. Yeah. So I think the question came from a viewer that asked, hey, what drives pricing above or below?
Yeah.
So it's a great question. Again, the averages that we publish are designed to be representative of a market, and certainly there's some outliers.
Sure.
But anyways, there's a variety of factors that will drive, and this is to talk through those. But I think important to note, you know, before we get into that in many cases, some of these factors are driving a price down, some are driving a price up, and they almost like they balance each other out, or they counter each other, cross currents, as our investor friends would call it. So, all right, let's get into that. Just kick it off kind of high level, and then we'll kind of go bullet by
and
bullet.
Let me give before we jump into some of those things, let me give maybe a quick overview of how we look at pricing and historically what pricing has done in our space, because I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of these questions are getting asked today. You know, we split data center pricing up into three different categories. And when we say this, we're talking about, you know, companies that are going to come in and reserve the right to utilize the infrastructure. So these are typically, you know, you've heard, if you've been in this space for a while, you've heard these as turnkey leases or turnkey data centers. It's not the leasing of the shell. So if you're traditional real estate, you know, commercial real estate person, this would be like a triple net lease, you know, $30 triple net for the shell. And then the user comes in and spends that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about co-location lease rates, and we split them up by retail, wholesale, and hyperscale. Our retail grouping is 250 kW and below. Our wholesale grouping is 250 kW to 4 megawatts. And then our hyperscale pricing is 4 megawatts and higher. And historically, those prices have dropped. So I started back in the data center space in 2007, and pricing for 2 megawatt to 4 megawatt requirements was anywhere from $160 to $200 a kW per month, and then the electricity would be on top of that. And so, and that has just gone down until 2 or 3 years ago. Like literally every year, that pricing was decreasing for a number of reasons, and we have seen a change in that. And so pricing today, not that it wasn't a hot topic before, but it is a very interesting thing to talk about, just given the market conditions that we're in and the things that we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah, and we've certainly alluded to this on probably the past 6 to 9 months of podcasts about that specific dynamic of pricing starting to trend up for the first time really ever, and some of the reasons for that. So let's just jump in here.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the one that we've seen the most pronounced in the last year is really the input costs to the development of a data center.
Yes.
Land, power acquisition, equipment, et cetera. So talk a little bit about that and how those may, again, impact providers differently within a market, different between markets, and is the, I think this is maybe the most impactful to pricing, but confirm or deny.
Yeah, no, I think so. Bringing it up into my mind, I'd say cost of construction, cost of labor, inflation, like those would be the things that I think about as probably one of the biggest things that's increased pricing over the last, you know, several years. A lot of that has been caused by the pandemic and some of the supply chain issues in our space. Our industry, if you're not in this space and you're listening casual, we have some casual listeners out there. So if
soup's casual.
That's right. If you find yourself in that camp, I would just say, you know, these projects are have so much capital is spent on the equipment, because it is just these facilities produce, you know, so much power and or use so much power that there's a lot of equipment needed to install, you know, utilize the power and then cool the heat. And so all of that with the pandemic, when it slowed down, those prices went up. So that got basically passed into the rent. You know, but I would also say in markets where there's a lot of activity, like, you know, there's only so many electricians in a market. And so if there's 10 projects going on in a data center market, and there's certain areas that would not be the case, but I would say there's definitely some that are where the cost of labor is increasing because there's just not a lot of people to do those types of jobs.
And that probably cuts both ways. Like a larger market will have a larger labor force, but also more people vying for those resources.
Yeah.
Where it's in a smaller market, you may have just a small handful of qualified, skilled labor.
Yeah.
And a smaller project. So it's really an alignment. You know, how do those align at any given point in time?
Yeah. So those prices definitely, the increase of those prices have definitely been pushed into rate increases to make sure that, you know, data center operators can make the money they need to make these deals happen.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned this before, but it's almost the easiest conversation from a data center operator to be like, hey, this used to cost $100, now it costs $110, and it's just a pass through. So the rates are going up for these reasons.
Sure.
And it's not a political conversation at that point. Where some of these next ones we get into may actually be.
That's right. And it's important to note too that the deals, the pricing that we're talking about, the electricity cost is outside of the rate. So that is a direct pass through in all of these, you know, requirements. You get the rate that the data center operator has agreed to with, you know, the power company. And depending on that ebbs and flows depending on what market you're in.
Yeah. One last note on equipment. You know, we did a podcast with Tim Hughes probably 2, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had talked about all the time he spent working through supply chain, pre-buying equipment, making sure suppliers were lined up. And I have to imagine those efforts have been rewarded.
Yeah, sure.
But all that to note that the way that this impacts different operators differently is how well they've done at managing those supply
chain
challenges.
Yeah, it's like a logistics
challenge. Yeah, it could be a legitimate advantage or disadvantage depending on how well you've done that.
Yes.
And so all that to say, you know, back to the original question, why would pricing be above or below? If one operator out of 10 in a market has done a really good job, they would be below where everyone else is kind of impacted negatively by that supply chain. So, lastly on the kind of cost is the financing piece. And so, again, how that may disparately impact providers is larger groups may have better credit, ability to get money more cheaply, which would lower their development costs versus others who wouldn't. So, again, just trying to call out why there may be differences within market.
Yeah,
all other things help.
As money gets more expensive, the pricing is going to get more expensive. And that's not like, you know, specific to the data center industry. No. You can see that in other industries as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next would be like competition/available supply. So supply and demand, again, Dallas is a great example. Vacancy rates went from 15% to 4% in the span of about a year and a half.
Yep.
And certainly we've seen that, you know, drive pricing up.
Yep.
But how may that look differently? Again, try and stay within one market. How might that move the pricing needle differently?
Yeah, historically, that has not been part of the conversation because we've had more supply than demand to take down some of these big campuses that have been here. And that's changed over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months when we went through our podcast on the end of the year, you know, several weeks ago. And we talked a lot about that, how there's just limited supply. And so So I would say that there are data center operators that will increase pricing based on the fact that they know there's only two sites in a market that could do this type of requirement. But it's a challenge because with those customers, you know, there's only 10 to 20 customers or 10 to 20 companies in our space that are doing these types of requirements, these big ones. So you've really got to be thoughtful in, you know, increasing pricing because of that reason specifically, because the group that you're working with here, you want to work with in Chicago and Phoenix and Northern California and Toronto, whatever. So I think that's, we've seen that be slower to be the reason why things are, you know, really being raised. I think with the enterprise users, we're starting to see that a lot more, which is they just don't have the leverage that some of those bigger companies do. Mm-hmm. So I think groups, own data center operators feel a little more comfortable raising those rates than, you know, some of the other ones on bigger deals.
Yeah. Let's talk about location within a market. Again, I think you mentioned this at the top, but all of our pricing data that we publish is really for a market as a whole.
Sure.
But knowing full well that sometimes specific locations within a market, either for everybody, like a carrier hotel, or for a specific company who wants to be close to their existing footprint or their current customers, they go drive pricing up or down. So talk about location, how it impacts pricing within a market.
Yeah, sure. You know, there's typically like carrier hotels will get higher pricing because of the ecosystem that is located in these areas. So customers really value being in these facilities or very close to these facilities. So there's the opportunity for pricing to be maybe outside the average there. But, you know, as things spread out, I think across a geography, they start to even out a bit. And then it really just depends on where customers want to be and how bad they want to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's at least what we've seen, you know, with that. There's really no, some of the questions that I get around pricing in a market is like, what's the price for a 4 megawatt deal?
That's like asking, what's the price of a car?
Yeah, there's just.
Well, I don't know. Do you want an SUV? Yeah, do you want a pickup truck?
Yeah, it's just a hard, it's a hard answer. And so if I sit there and go, well, it's $98 kW. And they're like, yeah, but there's a deal done at, you know, 86 and a deal done at 110. And I'm like, that's true. So there's, you know, that's why we, that so
stares blankly.
Yeah. So that's why we communicate these ranges and we get, you know, there's some like negative feedback that we'll get on that, which I understand. But the reality is if I was an investor in the space, if I was someone that was, you know, building these facilities, I would want to know the tops and the bottoms of where mm-hmm. these deals are getting done. And so that's been our approach. And so I say that because you could have a deal, a 2 megawatt deal done in a carrier hotel for $130 a kW, and you could have a 2 megawatt deal done in the suburbs in a market for $95 a kW. Mm-hmm. Just, you know,
location.
Yeah,
location.
The ecosystem, so, you know, so.
But all that goes to show like the complexity of pricing both from an operator side and from a user side.
Yeah,
like
sure.
They want to maximize their revenue. The other company wants to make sure they're getting the best price. And so all of these things are taken into account.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I would just say, talking about like a 2 megawatt requirement, I mean, one of the big shifts for enterprise users, so think of more of the wholesale users, so banks, technology companies, insurance companies that haven't been out in the market in a long time doing this. Mm-hmm. They are unaware that the market has shifted like it has. And so, you know, they might remember 5, 7, 10 years ago when they went through this process and there were 10 2 megawatt options out there and mm-hmm. each one was, you could negotiate pricing. If you go out and expect that in this world today, you won't get space. Yeah. And there's legitimate groups that are like, hey, if you don't execute this in the next 30 days, it will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some groups that have come back and realized that the hard way. So if you're someone that's listening to this and you sit in those roles, you really have to be ready to make faster decisions mm-hmm. than you have before because the supply is just so limited.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about like the quality of the facility.
Yeah.
So not all kilowatts are created equal, my friend. Some are more equal than others, to quote Animal Farm.
A quote.
But you know, it's been mentioned here and in I think some various articles I've read recently, like older facilities have maybe lower quality infrastructure. What do people mean, A, when they say lower quality infrastructure?
Yep.
And then B, how does that impact the pricing?
Yeah, I mean, some of it goes back to like being concurrently maintainable. So just being in a facility that has the ability to you know, upgrade and provide the maintenance to the systems and not have to and still be a redundant facility.
Shut her down.
Yeah, so that's part of it. You know, part of it too is just, listen, infrastructure ages. And so, you know, some of these buildings that were built 20 years ago mm-hmm. Are different than the ones that are built today. And so you really can see that. You can see, like, and it just speaks to the evolution of what's being built, designed, the efficiencies around that. And so so I think that's some of it. So we historically, we've seen some of that second generation space, especially in non-core asset buildings for data center operators. You know, they've really just been trying to get, you know, something for it rather than it just sit there. I think that has changed because with the lack of new supply coming to the market for all the reasons we've talked about, that second generation space is more limited now than it's ever been.
Yes, it also has the attractive quality of being immediately available.
That's right, 100%.
Best ability is availability.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
That's a cool. Preach. Gosh, just line them up, Mike.
I got bits today. yeah, so again, just to summarize, an older facility where probably historically would have gotten a lower rental rate.
Yep.
And again, if you're just looking at like a readout of deals that have been done, 2 megawatts for $90 versus two megawatts for $120, you know, you could kind of maybe scratch your head, but if you dig into it, you may see some of these being the reasons for the underlying prices.
Yeah, and I do think in our space, like, aesthetics matters to a point. You know, it's hard to take some of these users through some of these facilities that are, you know, they're going to go, we're about to spend $50 million on this lease or more than that on equipment, whatever it might be. And you're looking at the options and you're going, like, this does not feel like a place that we should do that.
Yeah.
You know, versus this, it feels better. And there's some data centers out there that have been constructed maybe 5 to 7 years ago that maybe took that to the extreme, you know, by either like putting
wood paneling.
You know, like slides and rock walls. And I think that some of that has obviously been
helicopter pads.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore. But having an area that feels good for people that are working there to, you know, be able to jump into phone rooms, have meetings and conference rooms, things like that. Like, I do think that matters. And then also the other thing that matters while we're on the topic is or office space. You know, for a long time, groups did not necessarily have people in these data center facilities that needed a spot to, you know, have like a physical office. And so we've seen that change. So some groups are really doing a good job of, you know, you build your 250,000 square foot facility and, you know, 10,000 of it is office space that can be subdivided based on the needs of an individual user. So those are some of the things that will impact the rates between, you know, the facilities that are being built today and older facilities.
Yeah. And that, when you mentioned the concurrently maintainable, that leads into my next point, which is equipment. And so that one is one can significantly change your lease rate if a company's willing to furnish some of the mechanical, electrical equipment themselves for a variety of reasons. Yes. Talk about A, why that happens, and then B, how that moves the pricing.
The first place I would take you to is the tier level rating in data centers. So for a long time, the data center construction and design and construction is based off of, you know, what tier level you are building to. And the tiers have to do with, you know, levels of redundancy, your ability to, you know, look at like LEED certification of facilities. So think about the most redundant facility is tier 4, the least redundant is tier 1. And the industry has kind of found itself, you know, I'd say 15 years ago, tier 4 was what everybody was looking to build to because of X, Y, and Z. And I think probably in 2010, 2011, 2012, you looked at the economic models and what users really wanted, and they found out that, you know what, we can build a tier 3 plus facility.
It's good enough.
Yeah, that works. And if users want to add additional equipment, they can do that, and we'll just amortize it into the rate. So if you're a bank and you're like, hey, I need a data hall that will never go down, and we need a dedicated generator to this specific data hall, they'd say, okay, well, you can add that, but your rate's going to go up by X amount of kW per month. You know, on the flip side, we've seen bigger users that are sophisticated. They build, own, and operate their own data centers, and they've come to some of the data center operations and said, hey, we want you to build everything, but we want to be able to supply the UPS systems. So we want you to remove that cost from the overall rate, and we will, you know, provide that equipment. And that's an example. You know, not every big user does that, but and I'm sure there's other equipment that's been done for. But so that will lower the rate.
And it becomes like an asterisk on the deal. Is that, well, this price was done 10% lower than other comparables. And you go, oh,
that's right.
They brought their own
generators. That's right.
BYO generators. BYO Jennies, as I like to call it.
So, you know,
Tuesdays.
It can feel like you're chasing a ghost a bit when it comes to, you know, really truly being able to describe pricing, because you really have to understand all of the specifics around it to figure out exactly why that price was determined. But these are some of the things that will create that range that, you know, sometimes that we publish.
It really does. the analogy of a car is almost perfect, where you go, okay, this dealership's selling a car for $25K, this one's selling for $26K. Okay, well, this one has package A, it's got the leather, the DVD, this one's got four-wheel drive, and it's like, trying to get apples to apples is really, really difficult.
Yeah, it is.
So, again, for all the reasons you described. Yes. So, lastly is just this idea of kind of larger dynamics, or we'll call wild card factors. And so you mentioned kind of a two-market deal where, say, hey, we say we need 10 megawatts in Chicago, 10 megawatts in Northern Virginia. And so we're going to negotiate. Maybe the Northern Virginia one's a little higher, the Chicago one's a little lower.
Yep.
Across the deal as a whole, the lease as a whole, it makes sense for both parties.
Sure.
But it taken in just isolation, looking at a specific market, these are a little bit out of line. And then the last piece being like groups that are maybe trying to make an entrance to a market.
Yeah.
And really want to signal to the market that they're doing business here. They may be a little bit more aggressive on price.
Yeah.
So talk about those two factors and how you've seen those play out.
Yeah. If I think if you're a data center operator right now and you have a regional or global portfolio, national global portfolio, your ability to, one of your greatest opportunities is to serve customers you already have relationships with in other facilities across, your portfolio. So if they have, two megawatt needs or 3 2-megawatt needs in multiple markets and you can solve that for them.
Yeah, one throat to choke, as it
were. It's an easier path. And in our space, I think that's really valuable. Today, it's not easy to accomplish. And so you will see sometimes that there are 3 2-megawatt deals and they all got done at the same rate, or 3 2-megawatt deals in different markets, they all got done at different rates. You mentioned, or one thing I would add to that is there's other times that deals get done where the end user is actually coming out of space somewhere else. So they're able to do a less expensive deal because the space that maybe they're leaving behind, the data center operator can come in and lease for higher than it was done. So that's another nuance or wild card in our world. What was the third? What was the other one you mentioned?
Oh, just companies making like a new entrance into the market wanting to be aggressive, kind of a signature flagship signing.
Yeah, and for a while that took place because there was so much. There were a number of data center operators that had just formed and had bought land and were looking to grow and had the relationships with some of these bigger users. And so I think the pricing, this is probably 3 or 4 years ago, got to a level that we hadn't seen in our space, from a lower perspective. Now those entrants to the market, I mean, they're doing deals, I would say, 20% above those numbers. Mm-hmm. So you can see how the market has shifted. But a lot of it too is around relationships, and sometimes the biggest customer in your portfolio is going to get the best rates because of their size and leverage, in the portfolio. So the nuance of some of these deals is really important to understand. We do our best to, provide ranges where we know deals are getting done. But it changes, and it changes fast. And I don't see, I was telling someone just the other day, it's like this environment that we're in, we can't get out of quickly because the challenges that we're trying to solve that the industry is trying to solve by bringing capacity to the market, bigger campuses, these are 10, 20 year projects. So it's like a very unique time period in our industry. And I think for the next 3 years, we'll stay in this, prices increasing. Now, whether they increase at, 3% or 10% in a market depends on all the factors.
A number of factors we
mentioned. But, when someone asked me the other day, do you see pricing now going down? And I'm like, if you just look at the normal laws of supply and demand.
Once again, stares blankly.
Yeah.
No, up is the
number. I just don't see that it can. And groups can still make the money they need to justify spending hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, to develop these facilities.
Yeah, and some of these changes, they just take a little bit to work themselves through the market.
Yeah.
Just that maybe in other economies, these things would work themselves out much more quickly, just given the nature of the space with some larger users and maybe slightly more time in between deals. It just takes a second to work themselves through. So to your point, we're in the middle of that, I hate to use the word digestion, but digesting all of these new market impacts.
Yeah, the market conditions. And I would say it's been fascinating to watch because I don't think anyone would have predicted.
No, wrong. You predicted this, sir. Go back and watch the tape.
You know, before like the pandemic, like things really changing the way they have. And so it's a fascinating thing to watch.
It is. Well, I hope this was helpful to you guys. Again, datacenterhawk.com for more information. And we have a little button there. You can connect with one of our research team. Bring any more questions you've got specifically about pricing. We'd love to connect with you and answer those. If not, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.